Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. We are the authentic source of Nigerian information, and of course, you know, we give positive Nigerian energy. We are the station that bridges the gap between Nigerians and, of course, their country, wherever they are in the diaspora. And as advertised, I am here today for Diaspora Discuss, a conversation with Nigerians in the diaspora. We'd like to take their views, their opinions and perspectives on issues in the Nigerian nation. And today we have a very important Nigerian who is in the diaspora with us. And I'm talking about none other than Mr. Olariwaju Fakunle. Yes, that's it, Olariwaju Fakunle. He is the President, National Association of Nigerian Communities in the UK. He is a solicitor and, of course, the CEO, Bold Legal Limited, is a law firm in the United Kingdom. And today we'll be discussing Nigerians in the UK and their impact on Nigeria and possibly whether they're making waves or shining bright the Nigerian light in the UK or flying high the Nigerian flag in the UK. Mr. Olariwaju Fakunle, you're welcome to Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Hello. Hello? Hello? All right. I'm sure we'll get him. Let him come back online. Just leave it like that. Everybody knows that we are not in London. We are talking with Mr. Olariwaju Fakunle. He's the President, Association of Nigerian Communities in the UK. All right. We are ready for the program. And you know what? We'll be talking about Nigeria and Nigerians in the UK. You know that if there's any country that has quite a huge population of Nigeria, certainly it is the UK. All right. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hello.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine, sir. I can hear you.
All right.
I can hear you, sir.
Okay. Yes, I just did your introduction, Mr. Olariwaju Fakunle. Yeah. President, National Association of Nigerian Communities in UK. You're welcome to Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Hello, you're welcome, sir. Hello, you're welcome to Spirit of Nigeria Radio. All right, you know what we'll do? Let's go on a short break. When we come back, we'll try to reconnect with the President, National Association of Nigerian Communities in the UK.
Of mine, Nigeria, on my mind, born in diversity, blessed beyond compare. Ooh, through these 100 years, our struggle. We're strong in our unity. Peace, our destiny. Here we are.
Standing tall.
We will stand.
We will stand. adversities. We are one.
Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. All right, welcome back. It's Spirit of Nigeria Radio, giving you positive Nigerian energy, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. It is Diaspora Discuss this beautiful Saturday, and we are with Mr. Olanrewaju Fakunle, President, National Association of Nigerian Communities in the UK. He is, of course, a solicitor and the CEO, Bold Legal Limited. It's a law firm in the United Kingdom. And today we'll be discussing Nigerians in the UK and their impact on Nigeria, or even more so, their impact in the UK. All right, Mr. Olanrewaju Fakunle, you're welcome to Diaspora Discuss.
Thank you. Good evening.
All right, good evening.
How are you? How is everybody?
Everybody is fine, and happy 60th anniversary to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right. Okay, so let's start the way we typically will start on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Let's establish your Nigerianness. What part of Nigeria do you come from? Did you go to school here? And of course, just give us a little bit of background and how you ended up in the UK. Hello.
Thank you. Thank you.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
My name, as you've heard, is Olanrewaju Fakunle. I am from Ibadan, your state. I studied back home in Nigeria. I was born in the late 60s.
Mm.
I studied at a primary school called it's in New York State town, and then I went to Loyola College after we finished. I later studied at the Ibo State College of Education in Jabulani in the 90s. I later went to University of Ibadan, where I studied English education.
Okay.
And I was fully into politics at the time. I was the faculty president before I traveled abroad in the 1996. And since then, I've lived abroad. And I studied law in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I moved to London from Holland. Then from Holland, I moved down to the UK in the early 2000. And then I studied law. And that's where I am today.
Okay. All right. So why did you decide to leave Nigeria? Because it's a pertinent question that we ask quite a number of Nigerians in the diaspora. Why did you leave Nigeria?
That's a good question, really, because when at the time I left Nigeria, we already envisage what is going on presently in terms of political instability in the country, and for economic reason, really, at the time. Things are not really going on fine. We've been experiencing these actual strikes we have today during our time, and as a youth at the time, we really want to move ahead. We want to survive in life. You always think even our pastor is there abroad. So I think that actually was one of the main reasons why I traveled abroad in the 90s when I moved to Europe.
All right. So do you think things have improved? Is it any better since that time you left?
Well, Mr. Toye, I must confess to you that it's a difficult question, really. I mean, in terms of improvement, it depends on how you're looking at it, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember the years when I traveled abroad, we don't have anything like mobile phones.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be a situation where I want to travel abroad. Only God knows when you're going to talk to anybody back home again. So when you look at the situation now, from the technological point of view, things have improved, really.
Certainly.
However, in terms of the reason why I traveled abroad, I think the problem is still there. It's still lingering. which is very unfortunate. The political situation is a sorry situation as what we're experiencing now, or what we do read all the time from papers. I think things should have improved or better than what we are experiencing today. So in terms of improvement, I'm not sure whether improvement should be the right word to use.
Okay, I get you and I feel you and I understand what you're talking about. At least you've not painted a very gloomy picture. Some things have improved. Some things are still the way they are. And this is Nigeria 60 years down the line. Okay, so let's look at your sojourn in the UK. What were the key challenges that you met or you found? You know, as a young man going abroad, I'm sure you were not married then. And even if you were, what were the key challenges? Did you face issues of racism, issues of non-qualification for jobs, and of course, having studied English education, how did you now, or why did you now end up in law?
Thank you so much, Mr. Toye. I mean, to be honest with you, yes, you mentioned the word racism. And I have to be honest with you that the word racism, it depends on how we look at it. Yes, racism do exist, but racism is something worldwide. Even among we Nigerians, we have racism. And back abroad, yes, we do have, which is, I mean, it's something general in terms of your color, you are bound to experience that, really. And I think the personal experience is because, like I said earlier, I traveled to a non-speaking country, which was in Holland. I think the first thing we experience is not just about the color, but for the fact that you cannot even speak their language, that's a big barrier, you know. And I was there for almost 10 years before moving to UK. And in fact, one of the reasons that prompted my decision to move down to the United Kingdom was because of family, and at the same time, I felt that to progress in a progression which I've been looking forward to, I think it would be better having that stuff here in the United Kingdom. And so far, so good, I don't have any cause to regret that. Now, dealing with that issue of racism, yes, it is a serious matter. And sometimes you do think that being black by race, is a cause. Is it a cause? You keep asking yourself. Well, I wouldn't say it's a cause, really. I so much love, I love who I am, and I believe everyone of us does, but the point is, you expect challenges when we are in a strange terrain. We shouldn't expect it to be something that is so easy for us to go about it. So once you know all these challenges, once you are aware of it, it's about how you plan yourself. How do you prioritize your aims and objectives of why you are here? Once you're able to identify that, I think that is the first common goal achieved. And then it now rests on who are the people you were opportune to meet along the way. The first point of contact abroad means a lot to who you end up becoming in life.
Correct, correct.
When I settled in the United Kingdom, I settled among people who are professionals. And that motivated me a lot. And I've always been focusing on going back to school. This law profession, I started it when I was in Amsterdam University. However, I struggle with it because it's been taught in Dutch. So, coming back to the United Kingdom is like a green light for me and a very big opportunity. You know, I think I took hold of that, and I'm glad if I look back and see where I am today, I'm really glad for that. So, and I believe each and every Nigerian always thinking that way. Any Nigerian living our homeland, coming abroad, must always have it in mind. The starting point is, what do you intend to achieve? What is your mission? Why are you leaving your country? Once you have that in mind, and let that be your watchword at all times, the sky is the limit.
All right. Thank you very much. Every Nigerian has a story. That is my summation of all the things that you've said. Every Nigerian we speak to in the diaspora always has a story. And I think that you've really highlighted a very important point here, that the first set of people a Nigerian in diaspora encounters are a huge determining factor to, you know, how well that person ends up. All right, let's come closer home now to what you're doing right now as a president, National Association of Nigerian Communities in the UK. What's the association all about? And has it been able to make any impact? And do you have the cooperation of Nigerians? Looks like this is the umbrella body, if I'm not mistaken. But, I mean, I see National Association of Nigerian Communities in UK.
Yeah. Thank you very much, today. Now, National Association of Nigerian Communities in the United Kingdom was established many decades back. I mean, if I look back, it's about over 30 years or something like that, even in the United Kingdom. It started among the students, the first set of students at the time, who tried to set up the association to seek for the welfare of Nigerians. And looking back, the organization has grown from strength to strength. I became the president of the organization just last year. Prior to that, I was the chairman of Nigerian Community Leagues. It's an organization that's about 23 years now, from the in Leeds. We became a charitable organization about 13 years ago, and I was opportune to be the chairman of that organization for 4 years between 2013 and 2017. Now, the organization NANCS, we call it the National Association of Nigerian Communities, it's called the abbreviation of that NANCS. The organization is a main body that seek for the coordination of the entire different Nigerian community we have in the United Kingdom.
Okay.
Presently, we have 13 different communities, and that's cut across the whole of UK. We are intending to expand this further. And our intention is to always focus on the welfaring and the betterment of all Nigerians in the United Kingdom, especially for those who seek to be our members. When I say members, I mean in terms of if you're a Nigerian and you try to associate with the local community or local branch in your area, then you are part of us. We try to make sure that we seek your welfare. So what we try to do is every 3 months we do meet, all these leaders meet, and we discuss around what operates in Leeds compared to what's operating in Manchester or what's operating in London, and we try to see how we can exchange ideas. So NANCS at the same time try to make sure that we have this kind of forum wherever we exchange the ideas and try to see how we can strengthen the welfare team of our members. We have gone a long way, and we are a mouthpiece to the High Commission for our members to the High Commission in London, and they always support us as well once we in London.
All right. Okay. So I was just going to ask, you know, but you touched on it a bit, that you have a relationship with the Nigerian High Commission. I believe that NANCS is recognized by the Nigerian High Commission. Okay. So what kind of cases or, you know, support in specific terms do you render or do you give to Nigerians in the UK, for example? Do you help them in making sure they get their papers? Do you help them in getting jobs? Do you help them in, you know, when you talk of welfare, it's a bit fairly large. So what kind of specifics, just examples, so that people will know that it's not just an association of people coming together every 3 months to eat and drink, and you know, and that there's value that you are adding to Nigerians in the diaspora, especially in the UK.
Thank you. Now, I need to make this clear.
Mm-hmm.
When people are here abroad, it is not our responsibility as an association to be looking after their papers or how to get them legalized.
Okay.
This is an individual issue.
Mm.
It is not for us to look for people, just people. No, they have to sort of, however, when you struggle in your area of needs, I will give you a typical example. In terms of paper, we've had issues whereby people are struggling to get their passport from the High Commission in London. When we have issues of that nature and they try to approach us, we try to see how we can contact the High Commission to see how we can help them to speed things up. Yes, as a matter of fact, we are not immigration, we don't deal with any immigration papers or whatever, but we just have a means of networking, means of linking out to the High Commission. In terms of people having their papers, that is why we have different organizations which relate to, legal services, the solicitors around who they can always approach to guide them to. However, we do have situations whereby we organize seminars and symposiums to create awareness in terms of giving people the privilege or opportunity to know what are the information around them, what are the things they can tap on.
Fantastic.
Because if for you to survive in any strange land, it's about your ability to have the information at your fingertips. Once you're able to have that ready-made information, going about it is a one step accomplished. So we do our best to make sure we try to link every member to the right direction. Now, if people are struggling in terms of their jobs, possibly what they might need is in terms of maybe being dismissed, they would require a solicitor for that. But in terms of jobs, some seekers, there's always a way to support or channel them to the right direction. But it is not something we do take up. In terms of welfareism, what we try to do here is that having different communities operating in different areas of the town in the UK, that in itself shows that you as a Nigerian coming to that town and being able to identify that, yes, there is a community called Nigerian Association, and you walk in there, the first point is to have you recognize them. You will be embraced. That is one. And if, in terms of being able to help you with a temporary accommodation, we'll be able to have a way of stressing that out. We have a network that can help you with that. However, remember there is always a financial aspect of it. That is something that we tried not to be involved in, otherwise maybe a burden that would be too difficult for us to grow. However, we try to channel you to the right direction. So in essence, we serve as a channel in terms of seeking more and getting more information at the right time. Now, I need to point this out. In the recent case of these challenges we're having with the COVID-19, we have performed tremendously in our different communities, helping not only Nigerians, even Africans, and even the whites, because we've been to different homes, supplying foods in our different community. We have a lot of charities of Nigeria who have been able to give us free food or a kind of financial support, which has been from different branches. And it has been working fine. So we've been able to reach out to that as well, and that has helped a lot.
All right. Thank you very much. I hear you loud and clear. I see that there's quite a lot that you're doing for the welfare of Nigerians in the UK. Okay, two questions in one. One, what is your relationship, NANCS, with Central Association of Nigerians in the United Kingdom? Is it any different? Do you have a relationship? And of course, when you say Association of Nigerian Communities, are you saying communities in the UK, i.e. Leeds, Manchester, even in London. Oh, you're talking about Nigerian communities, i.e. Hausa, Igbo, Yoruba, Ijo, Isekiri, and all of that. Do you have, you know, a pan-Nigerian membership?
Thank you. I will start from the last one you just said in terms of the Nigerian pan and Africa. In terms of the cultural part of it.
Yes.
Let me start by saying, when we are abroad, we do not see ourselves as in terms of the tribes. No.
Mm.
You are a Nigerian, you are a Nigerian.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter which part you come from, whether you're Igbo, Hausa, or Isekiri, or whatever. You are a Nigerian. And we believe you only have the same green passport like any other one of us had coming abroad. So you'll be treated as a Nigerian. So as far as NANS is concerned, our focus is seeing you as a Nigerian. However, yes, in terms of among our members, like I said, we have Igbos, Hausas, and others. We still have every member can still be a member of all those groups.
Okay.
Which they have their own community group. And that would be a good example. Leeds here, we have Nigerian community leads. And we do have the Edo Union, we have the Igbo Union, and they are operating fine. However, we do share something, everything in common.
Okay.
But the Edo and the Igbo, you know, they do recognize the Nigerian community leads as the umbrella of the Nigerians in Leeds. However, in France, we also have individual communities. Now, you asked about the question on the relationship between Nams and Kanak.
Yes.
This, I have to be honest with you, is an area that I tend to always try to avoid. Avoid in the sense that, you see, myself as the president, I know our position on Nams, and I know that we do have a good relationship with Kanak in terms of when we meet out there, yes. And it is good to play this year. Kano focus mostly on the professional bodies. Maybe I'll put it that way.
Okay.
But on slums, now we deal with the members,
individuals.
As a community. So when you're talking of the web, we focus more mostly on Nigerians living abroad in terms of their betterment. In terms of their welfareism. Does that make sense?
It does.
So, when you look at it from that point, well, nice thing, we do meet every 3 months. We meet all these leaders. We have meetings, we discuss issues regarding individual society. When you look at Kanak, Kanak rests in London under the High Commission, whereas Nance is separate. Does that make sense?
It does.
So, it's always good to be clear about that. We shouldn't be confusing things. However, yes, there is always that issue that, well, High Commission refers dealing directly with Kanak. However, we have been able to go to High Commission as well, how important we are for our members, because we do carry a large crowd, that even Kanak we struggle to get. If we want to give any information out there, we have templates already, which is working fine. The High Commission recognizes that. So we don't see ourselves as rival, we don't see it as rival. However, we do have, like I said, we see them as dealing with the professionals while we deal with the community. We're not sure whether that makes any sense.
All right. Thank you very much for that wonderful explanation. I mean, I'm just saying to myself here, listening to you, that maybe the entire country, Nigeria, should learn a thing or two from the way Nigerians abroad are together. The green passport is what is important. It doesn't matter whether you're Igbo, Hausa, Yoruba, or Isekiri. I think there's a lot for us to learn, you know, for those of us who are in Nigeria, in that spirit of oneness, that spirit of unity that is being displayed by Nigerians in the United Kingdom, which is a very positive point, because if you look at where Nigeria is at today, I think we're on the brink. It's never been so, you know, divided or divisive, you know, either way. All right, you know what we'll do? Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll discuss more about your membership, what you're doing to help Nigeria in terms of nation building. Also, we will be looking at your relationship. Do you have any with the Nigerians in the diaspora organization, which is very, you know, strong here in Nigeria, and a few more things to see whether Nigerians in the UK are making the desired impact. When we come back, just hold your breath, just 1 or 2 minutes, then we'll be back with our conversation. Let's take a music break.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
It's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and we are here talking with Mr. Larry Fakule, the president of the National Association of Nigerian Communities in the UK. We've been having a very engaging conversation in the last 30 minutes or so, where he has been sharing with us the activities of NANCS and, of course, his own sojourn in the United Kingdom. All right, my brother, are you still on the line? Are you with me?
Oh, yes, I'm with you, brother.
Okay, now it's better and clearer now that we've, you know, worked on it. Okay, so let's look at, you know, NANCS, your membership. You know, you guys must be doing, you know, a few things in the UK. Do you think you are, I mean, being in the diaspora, are you adding value to your host country? Nigerians are very good everywhere, nice professionals, nice in the creative industry, everywhere. You know, do you get a sense of, okay, Nigerians in the UK, and remember, of course, Britain was our colonial masters. Do you think the United Kingdom appreciates the presence of Nigerians? Do they feel our impact in the UK?
Well, That's a very good question, Mr. Atoye. And I have to be honest with you. When you use the word appreciate, I think appreciate goes both ways. To be honest with you, from my experience, it will be an understatement to say that Nigerians are not appreciated abroad. I think Nigerians are more appreciated abroad even than being appreciated back home. That is the way I did my own perception.
Okay.
And everything boils down to the fact that we abroad, we in the diaspora, every one of us, no matter how long we sojourn abroad, we always think about home. We always want to feel like that one day we have to go back home.
Certainly.
We always have that feeling. But when, like I said earlier, when I left Nigeria, looking back, we're talking of over 20, almost 25 years or more now.
Mm-hmm.
And if I look back and see what is happening now, it's a sorry situation, really. Whatever is happening in Nigeria, don't get me wrong, has been happening during our time. But maybe because of lack of internet, lack of social media, all those things, we don't have that feel then. We can only know what happened within your own locality. But now, with the current internet system, things go just like that. Once it happens, we see it. So there are a lot of things you've seen in the past that, yes, in those days it do happen, yeah. But the question is, we should be using making use of the opportunity, the advantage of having a social media as a plus, as an improvement. But what we keep seeing here is all these terrible things. But it doesn't sound as if we're improving. So going back to your question of whether
appreciate Nigerians in the UK.
We do appreciate Nigerians. Let me say, in this case, I am a Nigerian myself. I appreciate my fellow Nigerian coming abroad. And I believe even the UK people, let's say the whites, do appreciate Nigerians as well. But the point is, the situation in the country needs a change. And if I look back, I could remember in 1984 when we have I'm sure you remember that time of if Nigeria could go back to that time, I think that is what the country needs now. Whereby you can see that security is not a problem there. Discipline is everywhere. But what we are lacking in the country today is lots of corruption, insecurity, and more importantly, people don't just care. People don't care. They don't care about life. They don't care. I wonder if people do wake up one day and do care about themselves. Just last week, there are a lot of news I watched about, I think there were two fire incidents about truck, tumbling over, and then the whole properties got destroyed. And we do have government. What structure are we putting in place? This has been happening year in, year out. What solution are we bringing up to broker all this problem? You see, now in terms of appreciation, I believe what you are trying to say now is that, okay, how are we impacting?
Yes.
So our homeland. Yes, we want to impact, but the point is, what is the benefit of myself impacting, trying to invest in Nigeria, whereby I'm not even sure in the next 3, 4, 5 months, everything will just be brought down by fire. Or somebody will just point to you at the gunpoint to hand over to answer every word, or you have been kidnapped. So that's why there are a lot of things going on in Nigeria. But don't get me wrong, I love my country. Being in Nigeria, I'm proud to be a Nigerian. And in fact, when you look at it, Nigerians are performing better abroad. Compared to what we are back home.
Yeah, I guess it's the enabling environment that is provided for them to thrive and excel, which is somehow seems to be lacking around here. And every time we talk to a Nigerian in the diaspora, two major issues they raise that militate against their coming back home: infrastructure and insecurity. Those are the two if we do a rating in terms of, okay, of course, there are many other reasons, but then infrastructure and insecurity are the two main reasons why Nigerians in the diaspora, you know, find it difficult to come back home. However, 100% of them, just like you rightly said, would certainly love to come back home.
Yeah, that's true. We want to come back home. There is no place like home. But you know what? I have to tell you another thing, that because many like us that we have lived many years abroad now, we always start thinking, wait a minute, wherever you live and survive every day, that is your home. Yes, we do understand we are living at home. Yeah, it's a fact. And it's a plain fact, though, really, because when you look at it now, the best part of me that my country could have benefited, I've already spent it here abroad.
Yeah.
In another 10 years, I'm worried about now is that going to my pension age. So what benefit? So the only thing I can do is just keep sending money home. But the point is, what impact is that having on the nation? We have a lot of Nigerians abroad that have traveled back home, involved in politics. But then what happened? They get stringed into the system again, and you don't see that kind of Europeanish in them again. Flooding that feeling of, you know, typical Nigerian. Sorry to use that word, typical Nigerian, but that's the way we can see it now.
Yeah.
But, you know, don't get me wrong, Nigeria can be a perfect country, a perfect nation,
if only
we as a person, as an individual, can address ourselves. I don't believe in attacking government because the word government is you and me.
If
you can play your part, I can play my part. That country, Nigeria, will be greater than what it is today.
All right, just to be sure, I mean, you mentioned the issue of sending money home. I mean, that's major. It's huge in Nigeria. Nigerians in the diaspora, as at the last check, and if I'm right, based on even the President Muhammadu Buhari's speech at the last National Diaspora Day, he mentioned about $25 billion that Nigerians in the diaspora contribute to this economy, which is like 6% of our GDP, 80% of our national budget. This is huge. And this is not about investment. This is simply about social service. Just like some lady, Abimbola Junaid, said on one of our programs, that Nigerians in the diaspora are the social service of the nation. Bodami, Ejobami Sendowo, my brother, Abeg, send money. All those monies that come amount to such a huge amount, you know, or such a huge figure, that is even much more than the foreign direct investment in Nigeria. So Nigerians in diaspora, it's when you say, I don't want you to underplay it, when you say, all I can do is to send money. Sending money home is huge, is a major contribution.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree with that. However, I think we can do more.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way we can do more, you just highlighted it, the two key things about security and infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And the point again is, I think, I will add one point to it.
Yes.
And that point is about, I think, we lack discipline.
Yeah.
We lack self-discipline in Nigeria.
Mm.
And I think that's another area, because it's not just about the government. Yes, we do understand that there are issues about the government. That's a talk for another day.
Mm.
However, in terms of we as persons, even I said in my statement earlier that tribalism is another thing. Even among our tribes, we do have our own racial something. You know, because you are Yoruba, you prefer this Yoruba thing. Because you're Igbo, you don't want to. And that happens a lot among us down there. Even among we abroad there, we see ourselves as one. Now, but the main thing we are going through now is that the government has to start thinking of how to address this issue. And looking at what's going on down there now politically, it's not the right thing we should be going through now. And that's why people are agitating for, you know, restructuring. Looking at it, it is imminent at this stage that, yes, the government has to listen to people and they have to do something about that, you know. And maybe that will encourage we in the diaspora to start thinking of a better Nigeria and improve Nigeria and how we can do more and contribute more to the progress and development of the country.
Oh, yes. Okay. So, which is almost like our final point, because I'm looking at the time now and I'm saying, wow, we've been talking, you know, for so long. It doesn't look like, it just looks like we just started. All right. So now, Nigerians in the diaspora, there must be a structured way through which you can contribute to nation building. What is NANCS doing about such? Such that, okay, look, the UK comes to Nigeria, they take our doctors, they say, no, it's no longer brain drain, it is brain gain. No problems, I don't have issues about that. But when are Nigerians in the diaspora going to be able to use their expertise, you know, their professionalism, their work ethics, their orientation, to come and turn around the fortunes of this country? And it will start with organizations like the National Association of Nigerian Communities UK. Do you have such plans?
Well, thank you so much. That's a very good and a very valid question you've just raised. And to be honest, when we look at Nigerians in the diaspora, especially for those of us that are interested in the welfareism of our members, so definitely one way or the other, that means we do have some interest in politics, so to say, in terms of leadership. So yes, we believe, if you look at it from the point of where we always have in different communities that I've mentioned earlier, I said earlier on, I was a chairman of my community for some years, and I finished my tenure, somebody has stepped in. The same manner with other organizations, we always have this kind of continuous system in governance, whereby, I mean, you have your time, you leave, the next person step in, and when that person step in, he or she start building on what you've left behind. If we have that kind of structure, that is, we are having what's called sort of a nucleus of, you know, trying to build things up. So if we can go in that kind of direction, I think that is one key area where I would say we as NANCS, we are already creating a structure for people to imitate, for people to follow, to emulate. That look, if we can do it successfully in the diaspora, why not back home? Now back home, you have a governor who, after spending time in one particular post, wants to maintain them for a long period. Thank God we don't have that. But then what they try to do is to switch parties, trying to achieve whatever they want. That we must give that people opportunity. You know? So now going back to we in the NANCS, the only thing we can do, we can only do as much as what we have the opportunity to do. We can only do this among our members by educating our members, and the structure we have in place, if people are opportuned to have served in any of our communities and then have the opportunity to go back home to serve in all those offices, possibly they may be able to, you know, show some light, showcase what they've been able to practice and do that successfully back home.
It's not always easy for them when they come back home. It's not always easy. Yeah. I have quite a few examples. I think one of your brothers is Alalade. I think he came to Oyo State at some point. He wanted to contest. You know, there are quite a number of them like that, and they never seem to get it.
I totally agree with you, and you've even gone too far. I have my friend, the former Kano president, Mr. Babatunde Loye. He's a very good friend of mine.
Yes.
He went to contest in Osun State for the gubernatorial election, but he never got it. And you know, when you look at it from that point, when we have the mind of going back home to go into policy, we are trying to try and see what we can do. How can we improve rather than saying it? You know, but like you said, whether we ever have that opportunity, only God knows. But having said that, we are not going to keep quiet. You just have to continue.
Yeah, you need to build a movement. From my own experience, you need to build a movement. You need to pick a candidate, support him, you know, ensure that at least you have one foot in the door, then all the other people can come in. But when they come, they are typically alone. And, of course, they don't understand the dynamics, the nuances, the vagaries of the Nigerian political system, which is, it's a learning curve, and I'm sure once one person makes a mistake, the other guys won't fall into that same mistake. But what it does is that it creates some level of apathy. Nigerians in the diaspora really don't want to come because not many have come and have succeeded in getting elected. Yeah, okay, maybe some have been appointed, but that elective position does not come, you know, easy to Nigerians in the diaspora. So from...
Yes, but, sorry to interrupt you there.
No, go ahead.
Can I tell you one thing?
Yes, sir.
I think Nido, that's the organization, the Nigerian diaspora, being headed by Mr. Abike Dabiri.
Yes.
To be honest, there is a move at the moment. I hope if that works, whereby we in the diaspora can have the opportunity to vote in the election to decide who becomes leaders. I think we may get there one day. So that's why we are not going to relent in our effort to continue striving to make sure we get there. One day it's going to. I know Nigeria will become a better place one day. It will be. And it will be during our time. This should surely be, no matter, oh, you see, we will get there. But like I said, it's not a matter of discourse for this session because it's a different platform.
Yeah, I understand you, and I just like your sense of patriotism, your sense of optimism, which is what Spirit of Nigeria Radio stands for. We are a station. We'd like to give positive narratives about Nigeria, and I thank you for that. Also, just to add that one of the campaigns of Spirit of Nigeria Radio is Diaspora Nigerians Must Vote, which is a campaign that we are carrying on and embarking on right now, so that Nigerians in the diaspora can contribute to the electoral process. They must have a vote, they must have a voice in what happens back home, because from the figures that I've mentioned earlier, they are contributing to this economy, and you know much more than those of us that are even here. So it's something that is important. So one last word before we go, time is not our friend. How do you want to sum up all of these things that we've been discussing? Even though you've given us a very, patriotic and optimistic statement.
Yeah, thank you very much. Like I said, as in NANCS, we do think about welfare of our members. And in terms of what advice, what's going on, I have say, as an individual, as a Nigerian, keep doing the best, be honest, always aim high, always aim to achieve. And what is very important is the trustworthy. You must be honest in anything you do. As a Nigerian, we should be proud of our country. I am proud of my country. I'm proud of the nation. And that is what we should always see ourselves as one. I think what is very important for us at this stage is how do we move our nation forward? Moving our nation forward is about you and me. No one will do it for us. But we have to see ourselves. How can we make our country better? Not how the country can make us better, but how we can make it better.
All right.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share this from my.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Olari Waju Fakule, a Nigerian in diaspora president, the National Association of Nigerian Communities in the UK, a fellow Ibadan man like me, a Loyola Lagelu rival like me. And I like your optimism, your patriotism. Well, we can't finish all the discussion, like you rightly said, in 1 hour. But we just like to thank you and appreciate you for being a part of Spirit Nigeria Radio, Spirit of Nigeria Radio's Diaspora Discuss. And I'm sure when next we call you or there's an issue we'd like to seek your clarification, your opinion or your comment on, you will be glad to give us. It's been a very fantastic time. I wish we had enough time. But it's time for us to go on Cultural Train with Jaman and Nikulapo. And therefore, I'd just like to say a very big thank you again. Anytime we're in London, be sure we will be reaching out to you. Thank you very much, Mr.
Please, you're welcome.
Olari Waju Fakule. Thank you very much. All right, so that's the way it's going to be today on Diaspora Discuss on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Tomorrow is another day. We will be talking to another Nigerian. Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, we run up Diaspora Discuss on Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
From Taiwan to Cook Islands.
From the United Kingdom to the United States of America.
From Switzerland to Canada.
From Morocco to South Africa.
There is a Nigerian with something for the ears of the world.
Listen to Nigerians in Diaspora on Diaspora Discourse on Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Diaspora Discourse, bringing Nigerians in diaspora closer home.